Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this lovely, cool morning. As always, our weather report, Mother and Valerie and I, and the weather today is not too bad. It's about 27 degrees, even though we are expecting snow. But you know what? God is good. Because that's just how he rose, and we are grateful for it. So thank God today for another day, even though it's snowy and rainy and whatever it is, it's still good because God gave you another day on this side of the earth. So no complaints, just a thank you. Anyway, today we are excited, Mother Valerie and I. We have a prayer this morning, and then we're going to get into the word. And our prayer for this 22nd day of January is season of grief. I'm sure we've all been there. Yesterday I got a call from one of my classmates that another one of our classmates that had passed, and we were all at our class reunion a couple of years ago. And I tell you, we had a great time, laughter and just joy. And it was so nice for all of us to get together that have been friends since we were little. Most of us have been friends since we were little children. And now look at us at 62 and 3 years old. And, you know, it was a great time, and never know when God is going to call us home. So take every day as a day of blessing because God gave it to you, because somebody younger than you didn't get that opportunity. You know, I always think about my late husband. He died at 54 years old. That's so young. You know, I believe, no, 56, excuse me, 56 years old. And still very young, you know, but it was God's plan, not ours. And we have to understand that because, you know, I'm praying that I make it to my birthday to be another year older, but it's still always God's will. And as we go into the word today, season of grief is our prayer. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. God of all comfort, I am so grateful that you meet me in the depth of sadness. When grief breaks my heart to pieces, you are there to get holding it together. You don't ask that I would get over heartbreak. You meet me in the middle of it. I am thankful for the hope of seeing my loved ones again, knowing that Jesus broke the chains of death, however, in this temporal place of suffering. You do not rub my nose in the hope to come. You let me know the depth of feeling. I know that there is healing in grief, and I will not resist it. When it feels overwhelming, I'm doing a free fall into, and I feel like I'm doing a free fall into deep, dark caverns on and with no floor. I need you to shore up the walls of my heart and create a vessel for the sadness. There is a mysterious beauty in grief, and I will embrace it, even as I hate the loss that it indicates. God, only you can truly know the depth of our losses, and you are with us in them. Thank you for your presence at every point. And it says, when grief sweeps into your life, how do you deal with it? And I have to be honest, I didn't deal well. I did not. I did not deal well when I was in my 20s, when my godparents died, when my godmother died, which was like my grandmother. It devastated me to the point I went into a deep depression, pretty much this side of a nervous breakdown. I lost my scholarship to college, had to do extra time my senior year, had to do an extra 9 hours because I could not cope with the loss because it was my best friend. We spoke every day, and you know how it is to speak every day on those old dial-in phones. It was something, but I did, and I miss her even to this day, which is 41 years later. I still miss her. And my husband, I still miss him. We were married 32 years. He was my best friend besides my mom, and I am missing him. I still miss him. There are times where I would like to turn over and say whatever that's on my mind. But when God takes someone, it's not a goodbye. It's a see you later. And when we think about that, see you later, especially when you know that that person was saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know you will see them later as long as you stay on the right path, as long as you stay in your square with the light of the Lord on you, as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus. All will be well with you and yours. And I just want to thank God this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts of adoration, thanking you for another day on this earth, thanking you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness. Father God, we lift this word up to you, asking you, Lord, to clean us, give us clean hearts and right spirits before we go forth, God. We ask you to forgive us of any sins that we may have committed in thought, words, or deeds. Thoughts known and unknown, words and deeds known and unknown. God, you know our hearts. And we ask you, Lord God, to guide us and lead us in your word, that we keep our eyes on Jesus, that we never falter, that we can walk on water and never sink because we got our eyes on the Lord. And Lord Jesus, if we take our eyes off you, please be there to pick us up and put us in the boat. Lord God, we ask you to guide and lead and to increase as we decrease, Lord God. For you are the source of our strength and you are our redeemer. And we can do nothing more than say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we lift this word up again, we give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother Valerie, I am turning it over to you with a do not go out today. My sons just gave me a sheer ice outside weather report. The streets are icy. So please, if you do not have to go out, if you are in Springfield, Illinois, stay home until they get some salt down on the roads and get the roads cleaned up. So thanking God, I don't have to go to work till 1 o'clock. So I'm feeling pretty blessed. It'll give it time to thaw out a little bit. So Mother Valerie Amen. And family, all of you, thank you again for joining us this morning as we get ready to move forward today We will be coming out of Genesis chapter 43 through 44. Our psalm for this morning is the 11th psalm, verses 1 through 7. Our proverb this morning is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. And our New Testament word is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. So thank you so much, Mother Valerie. I turn it over to you.
Good morning, people of God. The temperature is 27, and we got freezing rain outside. I looked outside the window, and it's just a sheet of ice. So I'm glad Pastor don't have to go out until 1 o'clock because it's freezing rain out there. I'm coming out of Genesis 43:1. Now, the famine was severe in the land. Came to pass when they had eaten up the grain, which they had brought from Egypt, that the father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you should not see my face unless your brother's with you. If you send our brothers with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. And Israel said, why do you deal so wrongly with me as to tell the man whether you had still another brother? But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to these words, could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time. And the father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best food of the land and land in your vessel. Carry down a present for the man, a little bam, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sack. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also, arise and go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am begrieved, I am begrieved. So the men took their presents and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt. And they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, is it because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us to take us as slaves with our donkeys? When they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full weight, so we brought it back in our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. And so the man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water, and they washed their feet. And he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Jacob came home, they brought him the present which was in their hands into the house, bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." They bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your young brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "Great God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste, saw somewhere to weep, and he went into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and came out. And he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. They set before him the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servants to them from before him. But Benjamin's servant was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and was merry with him. Chapter 44. He commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the man's sack with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money." And so he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city, were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks, and which he indeed practiced divination? You've done evil in so doing.'" And so he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which was found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves." And he said, "Now also let it be according to your words. He who with whom is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless." Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. And so he searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey, returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." Then Judah came near to him and said, "Oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing. Do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my Lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children. His father loves him.' Then you said to your servant, 'Bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him.' And we said to my Lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die.' But you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother come down with you, you should not see my face no more.' So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down if our youngest brother, if our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our younger brother is with us.' Then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. And the one went from me, and I said, surely he's torn to pieces. And I have not seen his face since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servant will bring down the great hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if we do not bring him back to you, then I should bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brother. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? Lest perhaps I see the evil that will come up on my father. God is really good. Life lesson. God is very good. Well, I don't see any life lessons. There aren't any life lessons. But this is really good. I mean, he had to take his younger brother in order that they could eat food and not die. This is really a good lesson. So I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. It is a good lesson, but note that they had to repent. What did they say? So, and then when they talked to themselves, because they didn't know he could understand them, but we said we cannot go down, you know, unless our youngest brother. But remember when they were there before, it was because of what they did to their other brother. They spoke it. You know, they know that they did wrong. And, you know, eventually they're going to repent because they have to. You know, God will put situations in place where you have to repent. You have to do what you need to do. You have to do what's right. And these brothers are going to have to eventually do what's right and repent, you know, because they took their eyes, you know, off the Lord God. You know, we say keep your eyes on Jesus. They forgot to keep their eyes on the Lord who had prospered them, the Lord who had changed their father's name, the Lord who was with them through thick, through thin, you know, the Lord who gave them peace and prosperity. And they allowed jealousy and envy and all those things that are of the world to change the course of what they should do. And so these young men, they are now feeling the consequences of their actions in their youth. You know, jealousy and envy is not a good thing. It will tear your family up. And they are afraid now because they know how much Benjamin means to their father and actually how much Benjamin means to them, because they know what they did to his brother. And they know they'll never be able to admit it to Benjamin. We sold your brother into slavery. And now, look, this brother is saying, I'm about to take Benjamin and put him into slavery. And they know they can't handle it. You know, you can't do dirt and think that it will never come back on you. Because as anybody knows, if you kick dust, you're going to have dusty shoes. So that dust you trying to kick on somebody else is going to be all over you. Good word, Mother Valerie. Very good word. And I am coming to you from the 11th Psalm, verses 1 through 7. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. What a word. And life lessons I will do after I do our Proverbs and Matthew, and then we'll do all of the Psalm and Matthew life lessons after the word. And in Proverbs 4:10-13, it says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And we tell our children, as we tell ourselves, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you keep Amen. Your eyes on Jesus, you can do anything. You can walk on water. You can sing that song you've never sung before. You can write that essay. You can do that term paper. You can do your dissertation. You can do whatever you need to do because you kept your eyes on the Lord. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Hallelujah. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to believe that by touching the hem of his garment, we are healed. We got to believe that when we keep our eyes on him, we can walk on water too. Where we believe that if we keep our eyes on him, he will make our crooked road straight. When we believe we can keep our eyes on him, all things will work together for our good. When we believe we can keep our eyes on him, everything else will be placed where it belongs, put in place. Hallelujah. Thank God for another day. Thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend, the Lord of our life. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever and all time. And as we go to our life lessons this morning, in our Psalm chapter 11, verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. Come on now. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? When foes urged Nehemiah to run from trouble, he replied, should such a man as I flee? He realized that his enemies wanted to make him afraid, and so sinned by fleeing instead of trusting God. Nehemiah didn't play. He said, I'm going to build this wall. This wall is going to be completed. And did he do it? Yes, he did. He did it. He had assignment from God, and he completed his assignment. Whatever your assignment is to be completed, just do it. Psalm 11 and 7. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. God made us in his image to reflect who he is and to bring him glory, not to bring ourselves glory, not to say I this and I that and I did this and I did that, but God did it. Excuse me. That's what it is. I didn't do a doggone thing. God used me, and he did it. And I know that we got to do what God says do. God made us in his image to reflect who he is and to bring him glory. Since the Lord is righteous, he wants us to act in righteous ways. And through his spirit, he gives us the power we need. He gives us the power to walk on water as we keep our eyes on Jesus. We've got to believe that God can and God will make our crooked places straight. He will bring us out of the doldrums. He will bring us through the storm to the rainbow. Come on now. God will take us where we need to go to get us to his covenant, to know that he has said, I will never destroy you again with rain. There will never be another major flood that will flood the whole planet. I won't do it again. And every time we see that rainbow, it is our covenant with God. Don't worry about what this group says, that group says, as long as we know what it means. Folks need to get out of their feelings. If you see me in a rainbow, think of God. That's what we need to do. When we see a rainbow, think of God and ask the person, do you know Jesus? And don't be ashamed to do it, because you never know. You might be the only Jesus they see. Matthew chapter 14, chapter verse 23. He went up on the mountain by himself to do what? To pray. To pray. Jesus prayed, and he prayed all the time. And we get bent out of shape because we got to go to prayer. Ugh, here we go again. Got to go to prayer. You ain't got to do anything, but you should want to go to prayer. You should want to go and spend some time with Jesus, because you will find out when you spend that time with Jesus, it will change your life. I know it. Prayer changes all kinds of things. When you wake up in the morning with prayer in your spirit, prayer on your lips, prayer when you go to bed, prayer when you're just going through the day, prayer in your car, prayer when you're doing your stepping, whatever you're doing on the machine, the ellipticals and all the stuff at the Planet Fitness that you need to know you need to go to that you haven't been. Come on, I'm talking to me on that one. You got to pray. Prayer changes everything. And as the word Dr. Stanley gives us, it says Jesus spent a good deal of his time along with God in prayer. He made this a practice not only to make requests of his Father, but even more to stay in close fellowship with him and enjoy his company. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing like feeling the presence of God. And I mean that with every fiber of my being. Yesterday, the Lord was in his holy, in the church house. When my pastor preached the word, you could feel the presence of God. On Saturday, I was in the pit. I was right there with Joseph. And it was so wild. On Saturday, the pastor preached from Genesis chapter 37. And then on yesterday, the pastor preached from Genesis 37 last night, talking to our children. And then when my pastor came out of Acts chapter 2, I had my Paul and Silas at about midnight moment. I just felt the presence of the God. It was a Pentecostal moment in our congregation. You got to have them Pentecostal moments because we all need the Lord. We all need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We all need to know who he is. They spoke in other tongues. And many people think that what they are talking about is speaking in tongues, your godly language with God. No, they were speaking in other languages. The tongues they were speaking were other languages. They were speaking in Spanish, Te amo, God, I love you. You know, we got to know we have to have our Te amo moments. But it was, they were speaking in the tongue of other languages. That's why they had interpreters. That's why they had somebody who understood what they were saying, because there were people from all over that came, and many were not speaking in Hebrew or Aramaic or in the language of the Romans or in Greek, but they were speaking other dialects and languages. And in the upper room, in the Pentecostal moment where they began to speak in tongues, they were speaking the languages of those that were there, and they were feeling the presence of Jesus. They were feeling the Holy Spirit because someone could understand what they were saying. Hallelujah. I had that feeling in my spirit. I felt that fire. Hallelujah. Like the day of Pentecost, I felt it, and I could do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. We got to know that when we keep our thoughts and our minds on the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will light you up. Hallelujah. I'm feeling it all the way down to my pinky toe this morning. I just got filled up. And when we go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. When we are in the presence of the Lord, we walk in faith and not in fear. The unexpected way God often does things may startle us or even frighten us. We may not understand why he works in a certain way. So he continuously tells us, do not be afraid. It is I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And when we grow in our faith, Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And it says, when a measure of faith has been given to every person, Romans 12 and 3, our faith is to grow. God desires that we develop a great faith. After Peter walked on the water, but when starting to sink, when he heard the howling wind and saw the wild waves, the Lord asked him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When the disciples awoke asleep in Jesus to still the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he responded, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So yesterday in Sunday school, we talked about faith. It was in our lesson. We got to have faith that God will and does provide, because he does and he will. When we believe, he will stretch that paycheck. I'm believing God to stretch the paycheck. And it tells us, Jesus clearly expected his followers to have faith, to use it and to grow it. We grow in faith when we hear from God, obey what he says, and then acknowledge God's faithfulness to his word in our lives. If we aren't hearing from God, it's virtually impossible for us to grow in faith. The same is true if we aren't obeying him and if we aren't looking for him to fulfill his word in us. A faith challenge requires consistency, endurance, perseverance, and watchfulness. We must continue to stand in faith until the thing for which God challenged us to believe comes to pass. Jesus once told a parable about a widow who went repeatedly to a judge for justice until he responded to her. Jesus pointed out that God was not like the callous judge and said, "Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Then he added a comment about our tendency to give up too soon in matters that call for our faith to grow. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Persevere in your believing once you have heard God speak to you. Endure until you see the fulfillment of God's word." Wow. What a word this morning. I can only say thank you, God. What a great word today. God will take you where you need to go when you need to do it. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord this morning. And just tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for being there for me. Thank you, Lord, for being the great I am. Hallelujah. And a word for this day from our sister in Christ. Again, right on point. Good morning. Don't stress yourself out. Things will fall into place. Whatever is not going right for you, God will turn it around when you least expect it. Stay persistent and prayerful. Have a moving on Monday. Praise the Lord. That's what we got to do. Don't stress. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't walk in fear. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't fall into the pit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, he will turn whatever your situation is, he will turn it around to work for your good. Trust God today. Believe that all for you. And that is all we have this morning. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what God gave me this morning that I shared with you. We won't sink. We won't be looking to the left. We won't be looking to the right. We won't see the waves. We won't see the wind. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, a peace, be still, will fall in our spirit. Mother Valerie, I turn it back over to you if God has put something on your heart. And anyone who has listened this morning, if God has put something on your heart, push that number 1 on your phone. And again, welcome back to Blog Talk Radio. We are not conference calling right now. We are strictly back on Blog Talk. Until God tells us something different. So thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in this morning. Mother, if God has put anything Just a minute, we got to call it in. Good morning, your line is open, 6966.
Good morning, Pastor Bridget and my mother. Mother Valerie. You know,
good morning, Evangelist Teresa.
Good morning. You know what? You know, my prayer and thought for today is God bless homeless. We have roofs over our heads, clothes on our back, food in our belly. They're out there walking in that stuff. You know, we're blessed beyond measure. We have to make light of the day because God said it could be our last. Be thankful, he said, for every single thing. If you got to put on a dirty pair of socks, oh, well, you got socks to wear. God
Amen.
Said be thankful for everything this day. Continually
Amen.
Give him the thanks, honor, and glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's all I have. Hey, glory.
Amen.
It is right on point. And God forgive me because I normally pray for the houseless and the homeless and those that do not have, for God to give them shelter. So thank you, Evangelist, for coming in and speaking it, because we need to every day pray for the least among us, because that's what God wants from us, to pray for the least among us.
Yeah.
There's somebody that has less than you. Don't complain. Just praise God that he has blessed you and bless others when you have opportunity. That's what he wants us to bless.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
Others. So thank you, Evangelist. Thank you. I know you were on the prayer call as well this morning. So thanking you for your prayers every time the doors of that ministry opens, you are there. And thank you for joining us this morning, because
I know
you've been up since
thank God
very I've
been
early.
Up since 3 a.m. Nobody but God. Usually I'm so
I have to send you, a word that I received that those that God wakes between 3 and 5 in the morning are chosen. So you are chosen. And it is your time
I know I'm chosen,
to go into
God.
Warfare prayer. Yeah, it's
That's
a warfare
right.
prayer.
I don't mind praying. That's one of the. I love to pray. I love to praise him.
Amen.
We have Amen. To be, you know, ever so grateful. You know, that song that they have out there, looking at the one who is less fortunate. No, we're not going to get out right now because God has given us some good sense, I pray. But we have to just be thankful when we're going down the street. Someone at the bus stop. Someone ready to cross the road. Be thankful that you're inside of a warm vehicle. You know, I mean, my heart, as you know, Pastor Bridget, for years has been the homeless.
Yes.
And it got
Amen.
Stay with my mark. Now I'm back home, and I'm going to leave a mark for God. When that time comes, hey, folks, I'm ready.
Amen.
Yes. And we all have to remember that there by the grace of God go I. You have people that want to look down on folks less fortunate. We cannot look down on anybody. We've got to always know in our hearts they're there. By the grace of God, go I.
Yes.
Because some people don't realize you are a paycheck away from houselessness. You are a paycheck away from eviction. Many are a paycheck away from losing their vehicles. You know, we can't get so high and mighty because we got some money in the bank that we think that I don't have to worry about that. How many people have gone bankrupt, millionaires, billionaires, have lost everything. And instead of thanking God that they have their life, the first thing they think about doing is committing suicide because they don't know any better. But when you know the Lord, you know that I have my good days, I have my bad days, I have my hills to climb. But through my weary days and sleepless nights, I won't complain. Because God's being too good to me. We got to know.
Amen.
He's dried our tears. He's God has been there. You know, we got to quit complaining and start telling the Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, that I won't throw it away. Hallelujah. Tell God, thank you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Mother Valerie.
Amen. You know, I like where you were reading, Matthew 25. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately, it said, immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, you command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And you know what really happened? Mm. He took his eye off of Jesus. And I titled this, Keep Your Eye on Jesus. If he had kept his eye on Jesus, it would have been wrote up differently. It said Jesus walked on water, and it would have said Peter walked on water. But it don't say that. It don't say that because Peter took his eye off of Jesus, and he started going down. So we always have to keep our eye on Jesus. And that goes for us in this day or any day. Keep your eye on Jesus. When you have problems and you're troubled about something, put your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. And say, Lord, what must I do? When you're doing anything, if you're buying a car, when you're doing anything, when you're sick, keep your eye on Jesus. Jesus took 39 stripes for our healing. So keep your eye on Jesus. And you know what? That includes me and everybody else. We need to be more like Jesus. And I think that's our prayer. We're left here as ambassadors for the Lord. So if we keep our eye on Jesus, keep reading about Jesus, we're not going to sink. We won't go down. And instead of a good man falls how many times? Seven times.
Seven times.
But he gets back up again. Get up and again. Because God will do it again. He will do it again and again and again and again. And when you come to God, I don't care how many times you come to him and say, Lord, help me. And that's what Peter said, Lord, save me. And God will save you. He will do it again and again and again. He brings the sunrise again and again. He brings the sunset again and again. God is a God of repetition. He's a God of repetition. And he will do it again and again if you come to him. I don't care what you do. Like Moses killed the man. I don't care what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. All you have to do is repent. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. That's why when we went to Nalo's house, she's a prophetess, Nalo's house, and Pastor Daryl, they had the Lord's Supper. And that represents God's body. And when we take that, we remember what he did for us on the cross. So all we have to do when we, if you say that you don't commit sin, you're just lying because you do even saints do wrong things. You're lying. The Bible says that you are lying. The truth ain't in you. So when you do wrong stuff, don't run from the Lord. Run to the Lord. Repent. Say, Lord, help me. Help me and forgive me. I'm sorry. Be godly sorrowful and say, Lord, help me. Just like Peter said, Lord, save me. Because he was beginning to sink, and that's what happened. He took his eye off of Jesus. God, I mean, this is just beautiful. It's to keep your eye on Jesus. And like I said, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started to sink. And if we take our eye off of Jesus, we can't run this race. We can only run this race in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength. Because a lot of times when you wake up, you don't feel good. A lot of times you brush your teeth and you go and do things that you need to do, and your body feels, ugh, let me get back in the bed. But you don't get back in the bed because you might have to go to work. And you ask God, Lord, help me. Give me strength for this day. Because you can only live one 24 hours, one day at a time. Because,
amen.
You know, if that 24 day, the rapture could occur, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's it.
But you ask for God's protection to protect you for this 24 hours. Give you strength.
Yes.
Because I know we're all human. And when you get up, your body just don't feel right until you ask God, let me start, let me get the going, let me move, let me do the things I have to do to start my day. If you ask God,
increases I decrease, Lord. Increases I decrease, Lord. Yes, He will.
Yes, and He will help you. And you know, just like if you get up at 5 o'clock, around about 6 o'clock, your body start moving with you, and God has given you strength to start your day. And at 7 o'clock, when we start the Bible talk show, you can talk. You can actually speak. But a lot of times you have to ask God for His help. Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus, no matter what you go through. That's it.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. We give you praise. We give you the honor. Yahweh.
Glory.
Yahweh. We praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank
That's
you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. And be grateful.
Be
grateful. Be grateful. We are children.
Thank you, Mother.
Grateful.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Evangelist Teresa. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Thanks, Sister Carolyn, for her daily word. And thank Dr. Charles Stanley again. May God rest his lovely soul for this magnificent Bible and commentary. And again, thank Israel Houghton for the vision of moving forward, just knowing that we are not looking back. We're moving ahead. So thanking God for all of you today. Thanking God for my pastor who is always there and for all of us. So I thank God for Pastor Jesse and the continued blessing of the Table of Life. And church announcement before we get out of here this morning. If you are in the Springfield, Illinois area of vicinity, our children's ministry is having our first fundraiser on tonight at Pizza Ranch from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. If you want some dinner, come on over to the Pizza Ranch. They have salad. They have a hot meal of fried chicken and green beans and all kind of good stuff. And then they also have pizza. So they have a little something for everybody. So if you're out and about, come to the Pizza Ranch and help us with our fundraiser so we can take our children on an educational trip to St. Louis Food Fun Fellowship. But we do take them to church on Sunday. So, and they do have a time with God. So we have everything, and we're wanting to take as many children as we can. So please come and help us with our fundraiser. It would be greatly appreciated. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. We pray for you as you pray for us. We love you, and we need you to survive. And just remember, keep your eyes on Jesus and watch him work. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap, Mother Valerie. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Love you,
Mother. Join us tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. Be blessed.
Amen.
Again, one more time. A wrap for the Father. A wrap for the Son. It's a wrap for the Holy Spirit. So, everyone, It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. God be with you today.
Amen.